ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's a common misconception that therapists have their shit together and all our relationships are perfect.
Which is total bullshit.
I'm Vanessa Bennett, licensed therapist.
I'm John Kim, licensed therapist.
And this is our story.
So most of the time, we don't really know what our episodes are going to be about. We just start talking and see where it goes. Those tend to be the best conversations anyway. But today's episode, we kind of have an idea because it's very here and now. It's something that we're going through, and that is parenting, the struggles of parenting. Yeah. So where do you want to start?
I think I want to start by just naming that today was a rough day.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough.
I know. And I see it in you. I see you going through it. It's interesting because, you know, there's different parts of me. And I forget to, you know, because the big part of me is trying to fix things and try to be solution based and be calm and, like, you know, let's just focusing on how to fix. And I forget to recognize, acknowledge, see how hard it is for you at times, you know. So right now, Logan is screaming constantly, and Vanessa,
not like screaming, crying, but like screeching, like she's communicating through screeches.
Yeah. And so it doesn't bother me as much, but Vanessa is more of a sensate. Is it sensate? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yours. I mean, she can hear a pen drop, you know, inside a bank vault.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think it's having to kind of honor my nervous system a little bit, you know, and she's screeching a lot. She's hasn't been feeling well the last few days. She's been very clingy and whiny, and she just wants me right now. Like the clinginess and the wanting to be held. It's like she's in a mom phase right now. And so it doesn't feel like I can get a break as much as I would like. Right. And so, yeah, it's overwhelming. And I think like yesterday evening into today, I think I just kind of hit a breaking point, and there was all kinds of shame and guilt and feelings that came up around that breaking point. And
what are those feelings? Because that's what's hard, right? I mean, the residue from the events that seems to be what more hard than the event itself.
Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting because I had two people, and I'm sniffling because I actually was just crying about this a little while ago. I had two people in my life today reflect back to me things that are known, but that I needed to be reminded of, right? So one, you know, my best friend who has a four-year-old said, first and foremost, this is a phase. It's normal. You know, it's a short phase, the screaming phase. You can do this. But she also said, ask for help. Like, you need to ask for help. You know, we just talked a little bit about how I know that I'm kind of highly sensitive to overstimulation, of the senses. So sounds, touch. I get very overwhelmed with it when there's too much, right? And I don't have quiet or kind of, which is funny because I'm an extrovert, but my senses can get very overwhelmed. And I do need to take time for myself in silence alone. And so if I don't honor that, I can get very overwhelmed. And so she just kind of reminded me, like, you need to ask for help. And then I had a call with a career coach that I've been working with today. And she said something to me that was, you know, pretty interesting, which was just like, this is a theme in your life. This is a theme across everything in your life. This is this like, I power through, I can do it, suck it up, just do what has to get done. Don't ask for help. Don't show weakness. You know, all these narratives that I have.
Do you feel, so tell me about the shame. Why do you feel shame? Is it because she's too much right now and you need to be away from her? And so because you need to be away from her, that makes you feel like that's bad, or you're being a bad parent, or?
Yeah, partly. I don't want her to feel like she's too much.
Right.
Ever. I never want her to feel that way.
Is that tied to your own story?
Yeah. I mean, I think my own story, you know, a lot of stories of people that I've worked with as clients, it's this like inner narrative, especially women, that were too much, you know? And so I don't want to give that to her.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference between, you know, that her being quote unquote too much and her going through a phase of just screaming.
Yeah.
As communication, you know, like, I think they're very different things. I know that it's easy to feel like, okay, I promised myself I would never water her down. You know, I don't want that for her. But this is not you doing that because you need space because she's screaming in your ear, you know.
Yeah. And then it's just, you know, I think what my coach Jeannie said was pretty spot on, which is just, you know, this is the pattern that you see with me across everything, which is like this pushing myself to the point of like burnout, pushing myself to the point of being overwhelmed. And that's when I ask for help in more of like a throw my hands up, fuck this, I need to get away from everything place. And I've been working on this. I think I started working on this actually when the baby was first born, just if all of us have 0 to 10, 10 being our snapping moment. How do we figure out what our like 6 or 7 is and ask for help then, or remove yourself and take care of yourself then, before it gets to the 10? And how do I get myself into a 6 or 7, ask for help and not feel the guilt and the shame around asking for help, right? So the feelings that I'm rambling about myself because I know just even based on clients at this retreat that I just read, so many people can relate to this feeling of like saying I need help means I'm saying that I can't do this. I'm inadequate. I'm needy. I'm weak versus just like powering through, you know, right, and doing it all.
Well, the first person that you would ask for help is most likely me. So what would you need help with? Like when you're at a 6 or 7 and maybe you don't ask for help, what would you ask? What would the help be? What would you want at a 6 or 7?
It would probably be just to take over entirely.
Yeah.
And let me have that space to be in stillness and be in quiet. And recalibrate my nervous system.
So what would help me is, because I notice when you ask for help, it's by that time it's already a 10. Mm-hmm. And so you don't ask for help. There's the way that you deliver the message is you preference it. So you'll say like, I can't, you know, like I'm just giving you an example, but like I can't do this anymore. I have a headache. Like you preference it with all the things, instead of just saying, hey, can you help me? You'll say, you know, I'm about to lose my mind, this and this. And then I feel like, why did you go this far? Just ask for help. So if you can ask for help at six, right? If you could ask to pass the baton or whatever, you know, ask to be tapped in and we switch at about a six, then you're not going to get so exhausted that you're just collapsing, but it'll be a nice flow and dance, you know? Well, because what happens is if when you wait till 10 and you're like, I'm exhausted, like, or whatever, you say your things and then you say, can you help me? Then I feel like it's not like a smooth passing of the baton. Then I feel like, well, why didn't you ask before? Like then it's weird, right? Then it's like, then there, it creates a little bit of tension between us almost. So if you ask at a six, it probably wouldn't come out like that. It would just be like, hey, you know what, can you, and then, you know, assuming I say, yeah, of course.
Then so I think that this might be part of the dance, and this is going to be something actually that I think I speak up and I say that this might be a need that I have from you.
Yeah.
As a partner is knowing that this is one of my areas of work, like knowing this area of, you know, not being superwoman.
Yeah.
Is a struggle for me, not just with the baby, but just in life.
Sure.
I guess it's twofold. One, and you're human and you're going to have your own responses, but it's, I think one, if I get to a place of 10, because I haven't been able to catch myself at a six, trying to depersonalize it and know that it's not about you, right?
Sure.
This is all of my shit. And two, and this is something that I'm asking as a need, but also you are usually pretty good about doing actually, which is because you know me, you know when I'm at usually a six or a seven, and you probably know it actually. And I might know it in my body, but I haven't accepted that reality.
Right.
And so sometimes you'll say to me, hey, why don't you go do something? Like, I'm going to take her for an hour.
Yeah.
And usually I push back. Because I haven't accepted the fact that I'm at a seven yet, or maybe I don't want to accept that fact yet. And so a lot of times I'll push back, and it might almost be helpful for you to put language to it and say, I think you're at a seven. Mm-hmm. I think you need to go take a break.
Right.
You know, like, I think you need to let me do this. And as I'm saying that out loud, I'm thinking like, I feel like that might be something that I need. And you know, this is interesting when we're talking about like how couples and partners do this, because we are responsible for our own titration and our own needs being met and speaking up. But at the same time, I almost feel like when you know somebody's specific thing that they're working with, part of me feels like it actually would be helpful, I think, for me to have you reflect back to me, like, I think you're at a seven. Like, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, like, go do a yoga class. I'm right. Taking her for an hour, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what I hear you saying is, can you take more initiative? So because I know you, instead of me just saying it's on you, and if you don't come to me asking for help, then too bad. Instead of being like that, notice that you're a seven and take initiative, right? Take the baby, go do something, and don't, like, almost like don't give you a choice, because I know that you... it'll be hard for you to let go of that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for a lot of people who tend to go into over-functioning mode when there's anxiety, right? So any anxiety, any loss of control puts me into over-functioning. Like, that is my response to anxiety, usually irritability and over-functioning.
Yeah. I just had a revelation that I'll finish what you're saying, but.
Okay. What happens is, I'm already in that place, right? Which means I'm in a place of anxiety. And so you stepping in and saying like, I've got this, go do a thing. What happens when you say that is I go into a space of like, yeah, but he doesn't know what she needs for lunch. And I've already got her lunch planned out, and he's not going to be able to pack her bag correctly if he takes her to this place. And like, that's where my brain goes, because I'm in anxiety over functioning mode.
And yeah, like, but I'm not aware of that
until after.
But what can I do about that? Like, so if I say, let me take her, go rest or go do yoga, go do whatever, and you're worried that I'm not going to, you know, feed her or she's not going to be warm enough. I mean, I that's something you're just going to have to let go. What am I supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
You know, you just have to trust me, basically. Because if you give me a checklist, or if you say, okay, you take her, but here's how I want you to do it, then it's going to be hard for me because I'm going to feel like you're nagging or controlling, or you're not letting me have my own experience. Now, of course, you know, if it's raining outside and I take her without, you know, you, I would have to do the basics, or if she hasn't eaten, this is what you need to feed her. Mm-hmm. But if you grab instead of hold, if you say you need to do it this way, period, then I get irritated because now you're stripping the experience from me. So like, if I take her, I'm taking her and I'm going to, you should trust it. I'm at the steering wheel. Like you can't go do yoga and still be at the steering wheel at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
My revelation was this. One of the things that's, you know, really triggering for me is, and probably because I used to do this a lot, is hijack space, meaning take people hostage by going into a space explosive or lots of high energy, as you call it, going in too hot, right? The way I go into Logan's room sometimes. Kick the door down like I'm SWAT.
And she cries because she's just waking up from a nap and you're like, bah!
Okay, let's not exaggerate. A lot of times because, and this isn't just with love, it's just with life, because you let things get to a 10, when you enter a room, there's always panic. Not, I shouldn't say always, but there's panic. And then that triggers me and I'm like, you know, you're hijacking my space, and then I get panicky, and now with two people, you know, running around like the sky is falling. And so the revelation I had was, because my previous to this revelation, I thought, well, that's on you. That's something you need to work on, you know, all of that stuff. But I could contribute to it. You know, I can catch you at a 7 and check in or ask what's up, because it'll prevent you from entering the room 2 hours later at a 10. And then suddenly, you know, the magnets flip and we're defensive and I'm mad at you because you're panicking over something and you know, back and forth. Right. So,
yeah.
So I didn't know that I could do something about it, I guess is what I'm saying. I thought it was just you. Like, it's on you. It's your responsibility. It's your journey. You can't come in. If you come into rooms, you know, taking hostages, what everything is life or death, panic, then that's something you need to work on. That's not my mess. That's kind of the way that I saw it, but it's not true. But, you know, because we are living in a shared space and we know each other and well enough to know when it's getting to a 7 or 8. And I think that the partner has a responsibility to help in some way, you know, at least to reflect, because.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's help. I think it's help. Especially because I'm asking for the help.
Right.
Right. So in realizing that it's something that I am still working on and, you know, I might need a little assistance, like calling me out when I'm at a 6 or a 7, and not, you know, calling me out is probably the bad way to put it. Like, obviously not in like an aggressive way, but just more of, you know what it is? It feels like, If I close my eyes and I feel into the, like, what it feels like in my body to imagine you coming to me softly at a 6 or a 7 and taking the reins, I feel seen.
Yeah.
And I feel taken care of.
Right. Of course.
Like, you've got it. So I don't have to.
Yes. And I think, you know, part of your practice is trusting me, whether I'm going in the backyard or taking her to the park or wherever, that I do have it. You know, I mean, you can give me instructions like she needs to be fed or she needs whatever. But when I take her, you have to let that go, or you're just going to be sitting in your room with anxiety, a different type of anxiety. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, children are our mirrors.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to say, one of my learnings from having a daughter that is now one year and what, a month old, it's, and I've said this before, and I'll probably say it many more times, it's 10 times harder than I thought it was going to be. And we're lucky, you know, we have help. You know, sometimes my mom comes over. I mean, compared to our parents, Vanessa and I, you know, we have it 100 times better, you know, and also as individuals, because we've gone to therapy, we're at a different place. You know, we're not, you know, who we were in, say, our 20s, right? And yeah. So, and a lot of our parents had us and they're raising us in their 20s. So mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at them and thinking, holy shit, how did they do that? I have so much respect now. And it's so easy to get mad at our parents for not being who we wanted them to be. But now being in those shoes, I'm like, wow, like this, I understand why they, you know, I understand why working on themselves was not a priority during this time. Because
who had the time or the space?
Yeah. Or even the money, the, you know, yeah, the resources. So it's fucking hard. And I know it sounds like I'm complaining. And I know there's a lot of people who want kids that can't have kids and they're rolling their eyes and they're like, what are you talking about? But it doesn't matter how you cut it. It's hard. Having a person that needs your attention 24, I mean, unless they're sleeping, or, you know, they're tugging, they're wrapped around your leg constantly. Mm-hmm. And I realized today that, and this is one of my revelations with Logan, I forget to sometimes spend time with her because we're so focused on, you know, heating the milk, the diapers, if she's sick, if she's going through a growth spurt, like what we need to do. We're so
keeping
focused.
Her alive.
Yeah, we're so focused on keeping her alive. And then on top of that, like what's good for her, you know, and, you know, teaching all that, that you actually forget to spend time with her. So mm-hmm. even though you're in the same room, your mind is three steps ahead. I got to feed her. I got to do all these things. And so you're not really there. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things I catch myself constantly and have to remind myself, whether it's putting the phone down or just sitting with her, I forget to spend time with her, even though I'm with her, because I'm trying to quote unquote take care of her.
Yeah. That's big, you know, that's huge to notice and to come back to, I think frequently if you can, almost as like a mantra, you know?
Yeah. And I think that, it's also a metaphor in what happens with relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, and you know, with you and I, we are right now we're writing a book together, right? We have this podcast, or things that we're doing together that are bigger than us. And so sometimes we're thinking about so many things, you know, in the future or what we need to get done, that we can easily forget to spend time together, even though we spend a lot of time together.
Quantity or quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Well, that's where we're at.
I feel better having asked for my needs. It sounds silly, but it is something that so many people struggle with, and I am not immune to that. You know, I still have this narrative that, you know, having needs makes me needy or inadequate or less than in some way. And it's still a struggle.
Yeah. And one of the biggest poisons in a relationship I know is resentment. And I think it cracks the relationship container. You know, I think it's the pebbles in the shoe. They're not things that go away. And one of the fastest way to have resentment is to have needs and don't ask for them. And then you get resentful very fast.
Been there, done that. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think my work, I think my practice would be to pay attention and take initiative when I see you at a six or seven. And of course, there's going to be days that I don't notice, right? But actually set the intention to, and then whether it's Logan or, you know, something else, to help you, you know, give you what I think you need, as much as I can. And then that's the dance, right? That's the scratching of each other's backs. And I think that not only releases resentment, but also builds trust.
Yeah. And safety and, safety, feeling safe.
You know, nothing makes you feel less, nothing makes you feel more alone than feeling like you need something and then the other person not being aware of it. And then, you know, then they're just talking about themselves and their life. And then you slowly start to drift and then you feel like you're by yourself.
Also been there, done that, and I'm not doing that again.
right. Well, guys, thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy our conversations, and we will continue to document our journey. Vanessa, you have to say something.
You usually close it out, so I was just letting you handle it.
No, it's both of us. You have to say something.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this isn't just meandering. I hope you all take something from this that's helpful as we kind of open it up and get real and apparently cry.
Sometimes. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Be well. Hey, before you go, if you want to engage with Vanessa or I live, we both teach in the TAT Lab. The TAT Lab is live virtual wellness classes, all using Zoom. These are not video courses. These are live groups and classes. A team of experts with lots of experience and also their own stories, teaching everything from healing trauma to Vanessa teaches codependency. We have attachment styles, relationship classes. I do something called Ask Angry, and that is basically a giant check-in. We've got book clubs. We've got meditations. Come check us out at TAT-Lab. That's TAT-Lab.com. And get a week for free and come say hi to me and Vanessa.